It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com, by the way. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Later on this hour, we got CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. He's going to be joining us from Atlanta talking about the Duke lacrosse, whatever it is. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour of the show, we have Kristen Salvatore from PC Gamer Magazine. He's going to be talking about how to turn your girl into a video game enthusiast. All right, what else do we have? Coming up tomorrow on the my headphones are all askew. Hold on, I got to do a thing here. All right.
All right.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, we got Portland poker professional Jack Elder is going to be joining us here in the studio. And he actually, I believe right now, I think he actually is number one ranked right here in Portland. I think he's actually the number one ranked player in the Northwest Poker League. So we're going to be welcoming him tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we're going to be renaming the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. They're going to be performing at Listener Party 9, which is coming up Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m. Sabalas Mount Tabor right there on 49th and Hawthorne. So all of that is coming up this week and so forth. Let's see, what time is it? 1:10 hours.
Are we behind or ahead?
No, it's we're really ahead for the next break, though. No, because we're fine now, right? We're caught up, technically.
Yeah, for...
Like, we have another break, like, in, like, 12 minutes or something.
That's plenty of time.
In, like, 8?
You know, but 12 minutes is like... 12 minutes on this program is like 40 minutes on any other program. We're completely and totally able to get... We're able to get done, like, 5. We have the strength of 10 men in this show. Rick, okay, I just have to read a couple of these. Subject line of this, and you knew this was going to happen as soon as we started talking about BBs. Rick, BB guns, bottle rockets, and a crippled kid. My friends and I used to terrorize the neighborhood kid who happened to be rich, fat, and deaf with BB rifle sniper practice and bottle rocket attacks.
Who later became their boss.
He never heard it coming. And then it's just signed Z. Let's see, Rick, as a kid we used to play, and it is astonishing, I didn't really mean to turn it into a whole thing here, but it's astonishing how many kids did this. We used to play BB gun tag, which is exactly what it sounds like. You would just run around the neighborhood and shoot each other. BB guns don't really hurt all that badly. It'll leave a mark, maybe break the skin, nothing serious, although I was shot in the eye once. The worst thing was I literally saw it coming but couldn't react fast enough to get away. I just watched the BB as it approached my face and then it hit me in the eye. Yes. Yes, it's good times for everybody. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, what did I have? Where did my programming matrix go?
I don't know.
No, I've got it over here somewhere. Here's what's coming up. So later on in the show, probably like in the, like in the third hour of the show, let's see, we'll get this thing posted about, there was all of this discussion yesterday about various female members of the Rick Emerson audience who posted things on MySpace, or they posted things on their own site or whatever about the upcoming listener party. And there was this whole, well, you know, screw it. I'll just post it now. I'm going to go to my website and I'm going to post this, A, so you can see what we're talking about, and B, because the longer that Sarah O'Face thing is the top picture, the more it just keeps crashing my site because people just keep trying. Because you
Will
click
you
on
it. Stop calling it the Sarah O'Face.
It's not. Give me a better name.
It's the Sarah Freeze Frame Coin Promo.
No, O'Face is better, and it rolls off your tongue more easily.
Coin Promo.
Uh-huh. But the longer it's there, like, people see it, and then they immediately click on it so they can get the full, the bigger version. The version, like, that's suitable for... Well, yeah, if you click on it, it's huge. The suitable, like, it's like suitable printing and framing. Well, you know, or laminating, or, you know, whatever. I'm just saying. So I'm going to post this right now. Let's see. Let me click here.
Where might it be found?
This is just at rickemerson.com. Yeah. See, if you click on it, it's all huge. Fills your whole screen there. It is kind of an ooh sort of a thing.
What is that in the sky next to me? It looks like a tractor.
I think it's because they're dissolving. You can see this is a screen capture. They're dissolving from one shot to another.
It's an orb.
Yeah, they're cutting from one shot to another, and that's the crossfade right there. That's it. And they're getting ready to dig deeper into something, apparently, because it's this great photo, and we figured that this is not the opening credits to the coin thing. This is this is a promo that just rotates throughout the day?
Yeah, this is some, because they're reimaging the station.
Like during the soap operas or whatever, where they're trying to get
They play it during the morning show, too.
All right. So, and this is where they're fading from one image to another, and on the screen, are the words, dig deeper, which is presumably part of the coin voiceover, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there you go. So if you go to rickemerson.com, you can say, okay, I am now publishing this post here. All right. Give me just a second.
All right. Well.
Well, the problem is that I say this, and of course, everybody immediately starts hitting the site. Okay, there we go. So there are three different pictures that I have put up here. And then I put the appropriate links to my... Okay, so the top girl, and I realize this means nothing if you're not able to see the site, but you go to rickemerson.com. There was some confusion about these female members of the audience. So I figured things out. There are three different girls that I was sort of merging together in my head. No disrespect intended. There was this girl named Siobhan, and I'm assuming that's how you pronounce that.
Yep.
Siobhan, which doesn't really sound like she should be like a white girl, but I mean, you know, what are you going to do? So Siobhan is the girl. She had posted something somewhere, like on one of the MySpace pages. She had posted some sort of, I can't wait for Listener Party 9, I got to dig up the schoolgirl outfit. And then she had attached this photo, and I swear to God, if you click at it, this is very clearly taken at one of our parties. And here's how you can tell. If you click on the photo, not only is she a hot girl dressed like a schoolgirl, but in the background, there's a guy wearing a codpiece. If you look in the back, there's a guy wearing a codpiece, and I believe he's dressed like one of the Clockwork Orange droogs. And so a schoolgirl standing next to, like, a guy who is a Clockwork Orange dude, that screams Rick Emerson Party. So that was the first girl I was thinking of. The second girl is this Bobby girl. Now, she's the one, this Bobby is this female listener who we had in the studio because she works with that Jesse guy. She came and delivered food that one time. She has actually posted a thread on the Emerson Army site, which again, it's not like I sit there and, you know, look wankily at my own sites on the internet. But on the Emerson Army site, which I think you can link to from rickemerson.com, there is this whole discussion going about whether she should come as a regular schoolgirl or a gothic schoolgirl. And I'm not going to weigh in on that right now because then we just never get anything done. The rest of the show, we'd have nothing else productive. But she's asking people about coming as a gothic schoolgirl versus like traditional versus whatever. Below her on the site is that Terry girl who I guess really did nothing of import except pose without any pants on and sent us a photo of it. And I guess that's why I remembered her. So then there's the photo.
Is she in the military? Looks like a military hat.
I don't think so. I think
you might be protecting your freedom.
No, I think there might just be some naked guy in the next room who's missing his outfit. I think that's kind of where that came from. So anyway, so there you go. So that's all right there. So you go to rickemerson.com, you can check that out, and find out all the details about that. All right, we should talk very quickly here before we move on about the latest development at Listener Party 9, which is coming up next Thursday, April 20th at Sabalas Mount Tabor. So we have the band, the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. We're going to be renaming them on Thursday. We're going to have you come up with a better name for them. They are going to be performing at the Listener Party. Within that set, within their set, there's going to be another special performance. And I'm not going to clarify who it is. You just have to wait and see. We're going to tease you a little bit with that. It's of the greatest duet of all time. That's going to be performed. In addition, Sarah and I were talking about this last night. We were talking about what else we have to do and, you know, what else we're going to roll out for people. And we were talking about it. There's been so much discussion of metal on this show. And we've been talking so much about the glory of the rock. And we've been talking about Stryper and just playing all of this, the fantastic slash horrific metal from the 80s over the last couple weeks or whatever. So here is the latest announcement. And we don't have a name for this yet. This is going to be taking place about halfway through the party. About halfway through the party, you may remember, I don't know, a couple years ago we did an air guitaring contest, where you were able to get on stage, demonstrate your mad air guitar skills, and then, you know, the winner won something or other. And the deal is we had the backing track playing Hot for Teacher, and you got to get up on stage, and you got to, like, bust out the air guitar moves or whatever. This is going to be something like that, except we are going to take X number of people at this party, and we are looking for the ultimate rock god vocalist in the Rick Emerson audience. Male, female, old, young, black, white, doesn't matter. We are looking for the ultimate rock metal god vocalist. And so what's going to happen at Listener Party 9 is... the band is going to play, and we're not going to announce the song quite yet. We're not going to announce the song. But the band is going to start. The band will roll out the first 60 seconds of an established metal classic. And we'll probably have four or five contestants. You will have your chance to get up on stage, and you will have 60 seconds to wail out the lead vocals to an established, known metal classic. And then he or she who is the best the metal god vocalist will win a prize yet to be determined.
Oh, it's going
to
be a good song.
And I think we know what the song is going to be. I'm not entirely sure. We haven't confirmed the song, but I do have a pretty good inkling of what the song is going to be. So that's the deal. We'll find a way to select the contestants. The Bigger Than Jesus band will get up there, so it's not, you're not going to have to do a backing track or anything. It's not going to be a karaoke track. There will be a live band behind you laying down the metal as only they can.
Singing actual words.
And then, well, they won't be, and you will be singing over the top of it.
Oh, okay.
You will be kicking out the metal vocals while the band plays behind you. And then the winner will achieve fame and glory. And
so it's kind of like karaoke from hell.
It is, except the karaoke from hell guys, they do a whole range of stuff. This is just going to be pure solid metal. That's what this is going to be. There's not going to be any screwing around. There's not going to be any islands in the stream. There's not going to be any Patsy Cline. It's just going to be full on metal. So there you go. So that is going to be happening as well. A couple brief things, and then we'll take a break here because we've got. But at the bottom of the hour, we got CNN Radio's Ed McCarthy. All right. We have Ed McCarthy coming up from CNN Radio. He's going to talk about this whole disturbing, horrible Duke lacrosse story, which is happening. Later on, we will have Kirsten Salvatore from PC Gamer Magazine. He's going to talk about how to turn your girlfriend into a video gamer. And we never did. I got all of this email, people asking me about the whitest phrase ever, which I uttered over the weekend. So we got to get to that as well. Should I go to the, all right.
Yeah, let's go to the phones.
Thank you, Tim. Hi, it's the Rick and Rissa Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is a full-time listener, Neil.
Wait, hold on. See, and I never load the sound because I don't, it's just because there's only so many slots. Wait, hold on. And what's that? You're a full-time listener?
Yes.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
Hey, glad to have you back on the air.
Thank you so much. How can I help you, sir?
Well, I got the newest issue of Playboy, and in the next month page, they're advertising a Girls of MySpace pictorial.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's inevitable. You knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I figured, but I hope none of the scary ones that I've seen on there.
No, but here's the thing about the MySpace girls is, I don't know what it is, man, and I'm not really in the demographic, but it's like, girls, the internet sort of brings out the internet sort of brings out the sort of secret side of people anyway. I mean, we all kind of know that that's true. But I mean, MySpace, I don't know what it is, man. MySpace is like Spanish Fly for girls. You get girls that would never be dressed provocatively in public. They'd never be in public and like making out with some other chick or looking all sleazy or whatever. But it's like you put them on MySpace. And suddenly they're all playmates. You know what I mean? They all just want to show everything, which is fine. I'm not complaining about that in any way, but it is sort of a strange phenomenon. And I don't know whether it's.
I said movie news.
What's that?
I said all sad movie news.
All right. What is it?
Read, and you can double check with Scott Daly, but, read that the Transformers movie is supposed to be out in 2007.
Now, is that still Spielberg?
Yeah, produced by Spielberg and directed by Michael Bay.
Is it Michael Bay? Yeah.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Thank you. That's fantastic. All right. Thank you, sir.
See you guys.
All right. There you go. So I don't know what it is about. I mean, I'm not complaining about it, but MySpace does have some weird delinquency-inducing effect on young women. And they all seem to have a lot of eyeliner, too, which is okay with me. If I was more imaginative, we would work out some MySpace promotion with the party, but I have nothing. Rick, and we're going to break here. We've got this from Rick. Oh, this is from a black man. Rick, I've got it. Did you say one of my best friends is black? No, I did not. When we get back, we'll talk about the whitest phrase ever. We'll have Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio and more. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland, right here on Johnson 970.
Yeah.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming along. 503-733-2970. We appreciate your radio patronage and your presence. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick, here is a copy of Bill Cosby singing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Why would you send this to me? Well, never mind. I know why you
sent it. Who else would you send it to, if not you?
Dear Lars, here's... All right. We're doing a... Well, I'm torn about whether I should even mention this. The thing you and I were just talking about that's happening tonight. Because I do want to pimp the I do want to pimp the band, but I don't know if it's
should,
like some sort of stalker alert or I don't know if I want to be.
I think that we need to wish her a happy birthday.
I'm assuming it's happening tonight. We should know this is not a not any sort of a paid not any sort of a paid plug. We're just talking down. It is our good friend Kristen from accounting. Is she on the phone?
No, but I just wanted to play.
All right, our good friend Kristen from accounting is turning years old today, sometime. And so she's, they're going to be doing, it's like at Dante's, right? Going to be doing some little thing for her. Anyway, but the great thing about this is this band Cleveland, with a K, is going to be playing. They are fantastic. And I saw them by accident. This happened, I don't know, a few months ago when we were still off the air. I saw this band Cleveland at, what's that place, Holocene? Because Sarah was there doing, she was on the famous Mysterious Actor Show, which I have my own thoughts on. And so I went there to watch the famous...
That was really scary, I have to say.
Yes.
Yes. I had to reenact car accidents.
I sat there very politely for 2 hours, feeling my life force sucked out of my belly button during the famous Mysterious Actor Show. But then afterward, this band Cleveland came out, and I didn't know anything about them. I had no idea who they were. And just by sheer coincidence, Kristen was there, but, you know, and she was there to see this band Cleveland, and they were amazing. They were really, really good. And they got this girl that fronts them, and so often it's like girls in a band are just there to be eye candy. They don't really know how to, so, you know, you get a girl who can't really play or she can't really rock or whatever, but it's like this girl, fronts the band. She plays guitar. It's pretty obvious to me. She writes most of the material, and they're amazing. It's like this sort of female fronted AC/DC thing. Anyway, that's it. They're playing tonight at Dante's. You really should check them out. They're a great band. As Kurt Loder would say, do try to catch them. And then it's Kristen's birthday there tonight too, so that's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from CNN Radio in Atlanta, our good friend Ed McCarthy. How are you, Ed?
Hey, Rick. How are you?
My friend, I'm rolling along. It's what I do, and it's what I do well. Let's talk for a minute about lacrosse, you and I. This whole Duke lacrosse thing has turned very, well, it was never pleasant, but I mean, with every passing week, it just becomes more and more unpleasant and more disturbing. Just to back up here. So correct me if I'm wrong. Initially, have I got this right? Initially, what happened is some woman claimed that she was sexually assaulted by three members of the Duke lacrosse team, right?
That is correct, yes.
Then later, there was some email that they found circulated by another player in which he claimed, and I'm going from memory now, claimed that he was going to kill and then, I believe, remove the skin from a series of strippers. And then now they've done DNA testing, and none of these guys have DNA anywhere near the victim. Is it what is going on? What's wrong with that school, for one thing?
Well, the whole thing is that lacrosse players, as we know, are always a special breed. They're a rough and tumble bunch. I've known a few in my lifetime, but I can say that this is one of these situations here where the DNA apparently came back and nothing matched. So. Now the lawyers for the 46 lacrosse players are saying, hey, you don't have a case here. You've got nothing to go with.
Right.
Now the district attorney, he's going to be very hard-nosed here, apparently. The DA says that it is not over despite a lack of DNA evidence. In fact, he says that in 75% of the cases, that's what happens anyway. He says, my presence here now means that this case is not going away. Michael Nifong is this gentleman's name, and he was at a forum today at North Carolina Central University educating students about violence against women. He's going to proceed with this thing, but the lawyers and all kinds of legal experts are now saying that, you know, there's no case against these guys. The interesting thing also, Rick, was that they had photographs, and they said that she looked as though she had been assaulted prior to her appearance at this party and also was apparently quite inebriated.
Now, was this like a security camera thing where they caught her walking in and she was already bruised up or something? Or
pictures. They had some kind of pictures that they had, which we're trying to learn more about as this case goes on. But the attorneys for the for lacrosse players say that they are looking at this situation as possibly her being assaulted prior to arriving at that house off campus for this party. So this thing really gets crazy.
Now, all right, so this is all very confusing. So there was DNA evidence of some kind. It just doesn't match these three guys that she claimed did it. Now, how did...
Didn't match anybody on the team.
Didn't match anybody. So how does this tie in then with this unnerving email that got that we've heard about last week, where some player was saying he was going to kill a bunch of strippers in his room?
Yeah, and then he had a friend that came out and said, "Listen, I know this guy, and this is a joke. You know, he would never do anything like this. He doesn't mean anything like this." It's just all been very bizarre, this whole thing.
But this whole, and the season is just toast for these guys, right? And
the coach resigned, too.
Yeah, and they just had the cancer. Gone. Yeah, so it's, all right. So it just continues to be very, very bizarre. So they're gonna be trying to find this film, and I'm assuming, I mean, I'm guessing here, that this is just some sort of amateur sex tape type film that these guys just shot of this girl just showing up.
Somebody was probably just rolling a video camera or something like that, and as she was there, they noticed that she had bruises and had been assaulted. So it appears that there's more to this thing. And you just wonder if, out of pride, that the attorney for the district attorney wants to continue this case. But the father of the woman said that he believes his daughter's story. Nevertheless, something probably happened, but you just don't know if it was there at Duke, and Duke is getting all the bad headlines there.
Right. Here's a dumb question. It's one thing this is probably in a story, but I haven't heard it. Is it this woman who was assaulted or claimed she was assaulted or whatever? I don't mean to cast aspersions in her character. Now, is this woman, is she a stripper? Is she, or just some girl, or what is her deal?
Well, she goes to the other university that is in North Carolina in Durham. And she is an exotic dancer, so they apparently hired her and had her come in there.
Good Lord. All right, it's all very sordid. All right, Ed McCarthy, CNN Radio. Oh, hey, let me ask you this. You're based in Atlanta there. Do they have you covering any Whitney Houston news ever?
Yeah, every once in a while. I mean, is there any more Whitney Houston news, anything lately?
There's always Whitney Houston news. According to the Inquirer, she has become a not only a crackhead, but now a crack-crazed sex addict. Her daughter is, they're talking about taking her daughter away, social services is, and Mariah Carey, this is all as of today, and Mariah Carey is offering to do some sort of a benefit concert for Whitney because Mariah thinks it's sad that Whitney has turned into, a crack hoe. So it's all, so I would be keeping my eye on the Houston Brown compound if I were you.
We will, and of course, when you get closer to the airport, to Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, there's Bobby Brown Boulevard.
Is there really a Bobby Brown Boulevard?
They named it after him. I wonder if they want to take it away now.
Did they name it? Did Bobby Brown get a street named after him?
He did.
Isn't Bobby, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Bobby Brown a crack-using felon?
Isn't that amazing?
Well, you know, what are you going to do? Would it be improper of me to ask if Bobby Brown neighborhood, if Bobby Brown street is a, is it avenue?
It's right near the airport.
Is it a safe street?
Yeah, it's one of the streets that leads right into the areas around the hotels.
I got to get my picture taken there. All right, Ed McCarthy, CNN Radio Atlanta. Thank you, sir.
Okay, right.
All right, there you go. All right. Well, you know the Bobby. You know they're not putting that in any sort of an upper class white enclave. The Bobby Brown Avenue is going to be like way over in some street. One of those streets not even on the Thomas Guide. One of those streets where it's like you're on the street and it's always accompanied by the phrase, "Where are we?" You know, and roll up the windows. Those are white phrases, too.
It's a changing neighborhood.
here's another white phrase. Screw it. You know, that's what we're going to do when we come back. We come back, we're just going to talk about the whitest phrases ever, because I can already tell it's a comedic gold mine. And plus, they're all so much better than mine. They're all so much better than my white phrase, which I will get to. We'll do these phone calls as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Out the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Remember Newt Gingrich? We talked about him yesterday. A former Republican speaker of the House told students and faculty at the University of South Dakota Monday, part of a speaking tour, that the U.S. should pull out of Iraq and leave a small force here like we did in post-war Korea and Germany. It was an enormous mistake for us to try to occupy that country after June 2003, said Gingrich.
This is Newt Gingrich saying this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have to pull back. We have to recognize that. He was speaking to students and faculty. Members of the audience said afterward they found his speech informative and inspiring. He did a good job of telling us how one person could make a difference. His appearance was sponsored by the Sioux Falls Argus Leader.
Newt Gingrich just make me feel... That's a guy I'm just eternally fascinated with. I would watch... You know what they don't have? Is they don't have reality shows for dorks. And when I say dorks, I don't mean like... they have geeky reality shows. But they ought to have... reality shows for sort of like political junkies. I mean, the closest they've ever gotten was that K Street thing that, Clooney tried to do. But I mean, then nobody really watched it anyway because it wasn't really a reality show. It was like half reality, half fake or whatever, half scripted. They ought to do, I don't know why there isn't a political reality show. You know?
Yeah.
Being Newt or, you know, suing Trent or something. I would completely watch such a show. If they really wanted to jack up their... Cause no, like, you pick a station no one watches, say...
MSNBC. Yeah. We both thought about it.
Exactly. No.
Get rid of Tucker Carlson.
When is the last time anybody here anywhere... When is the last time anyone who didn't have some sort of a palsy preventing them from operating the remote control correctly watched MSNBC?
Before the last election, I think.
When? No. No one's ever watched it. Yeah, well, even then, everybody just watches CNBC, I think. Isn't that where Chris Matthews is?
No, MSNBC.
Really? I didn't all just merge.
Oh, CNBC.
They all just merged together.
Nobody watches any of them anyway.
That's my point. Nothing ending in NBC gets watched unless it is NBC. So they ought to be rolling out some sort of political reality show. Okay, wait, I'm getting one of those ideas. I'm getting one of those golden thoughts. Now I know that you're gonna say this is weird, but you know who should have a reality show and you know you'd watch it.
Okay.
Are you guys thinking what I'm thinking?
I don't know.
What person on the political scene would you watch with a reality show? Not really a politician, more of a pundit.
Oh, pundit.
And this person screams reality show, and it's not Michael Moore.
Pat Buchanan.
No, well, I'd watch that too, but that's just me. I think I'd be the only one.
I don't know.
I got two little words. Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
I get the same reaction. She makes the bile rise in my throat. But you know that people would watch that show. If you gave Ann Coulter a reality show, you know the people would watch that. The sort of political types, the same people, you know, it's like those same guys that like a woman with spiked heels to kick him in the junk, you know, while they're tied to a waterbed. Those guys would watch Ann Coulter.
So would she be rooming with like Arianna Huffington?
Arianna Huffington. If Arianna Huffington and Ann Coulter had to live together as part of a television program, you would completely watch
that. It
would
last one episode, because one would kill the other.
That's all you'd need. All right, you just make a mental note of it. All right.
Ann Coulter.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Muhammad Ali, one of the world's most recognized people, has sold 80% of himself to a marketing firm for $50 million. The 64-year-old former heavyweight champ who suffers from Parkinson's will retain a 20% interest in the business. The new venture is called GOAT LLC, which is an acronym for the greatest of all time. Ali and his wife Lottie are expected to work for CKX Incorporated, which markets his image around the world. The deal includes trademarks owned by the boxing great. Time for the J-Lo Watch.
Here's your J-Lo Watch for Tuesday, right here on the Rick Emerson Show.
J-Lo sues her ex-husband over plans for a tell-all book. She has sued Ojani Noah, claiming he demanded $5 million to keep him from publishing an explosive tell-all book about the entertainer. The lawsuit claims, well, it's aiming to keep Noah from publishing the book, which Lopez says contains private and intimate statements, many of which are negative. They're disparaging.
You know that this is all just a lot of talk about the ass. Mm-hmm. That's totally what this has got
to
be.
By shopping the manuscript, Noah was wrongfully attempting to exploit his previous relationship with Lopez by making salacious, inflammatory, invasive, disparaging statements in the suit.
All right. Which husband is this?
Which number is this? One?
How many times has she been married?
Well, she was married to some random guy the first time, then the dancer, and now Mark Anthony.
And then, but is this the random guy?
Engaged to Ben Affleck, and then Mark Anthony.
Is this the random guy?
I'm pretty sure this
they
is
were
the
married
random guy.
For 1 year from February 1997 to January 1998.
This is all right, right before she became famous.
All right, okay, excellent.
According to Lopez, Noah's actions violate a settlement agreement they entered upon last October that included a non-disparaging clause and a non-disclosure clause.
All right.
Let's see. They met when he was working as a waiter at a Miami restaurant and remained friends after their divorce.
Sure, they did. Clearly, the lawsuit would indicate the depth of their friendship.
He also claims she lured him into taking the manager's job and then fired him 6 months after that. Following the divorce, Lopez was married to dancer Chris Judd in September 2001 to January 2003 and had a highly publicized romance with actor Ben Affleck. The engagement collapsed suddenly, and then she married Mark Anthony in June 2004 after he divorced his wife.
Excellent. All right, let's take a break here. We'll be back after this. We'll talk about the whitest thing ever. We'll talk to our friend Kristen, take some more phone calls. Coming up at the top of the hour, Kristen Salvatore from PC Gamer is going to talk about how to turn your girlfriend into a video game enthusiast. And more discussion of Listener Party 9, now just 9 days away. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, right here on Johnson 970.